content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. Now, the Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how you can do that later in the program. This program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Now, the library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well, both digital and still a few cassette available, I think. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state, and if you're not a patron, but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of this program as well. Now, this month, we're going to take a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the month of January 2017 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Now, two of the books in the top 10 for the month of January are by the same great and very popular author, Nora Roberts. It's actually a trilogy that was written by Nora Roberts. She wrote a trilogy about three couples who joined together to create their own family and solve an ancient mystery through the powers of timeless love. The two books are, the first one is Stars of Fortune, and the second one in the trilogy, and as I say, both of these in the top 10 of the most popular books in January, the second one was called Bay of Sighs. And that's S-I-G-H-S, like sighing. So anyway, I'd like to begin with the first one in the trilogy, Stars of Fortune. Here's the plot. Sasha Riggs is a reclusive artist haunted by dreams and nightmares that she turns into extraordinary paintings. Now, her visions lead her to the Greek island of Corfu, where five others have been lured to seek the legendary Fire Star, part of an ancient prophecy. Sasha recognizes them because she has drawn them, a magician, an archaeologist, a wanderer, a fighter, and a loner, all on a quest, all with secrets. Now, Sasha is the one who holds them together. She's the seer. And the magician, Bran Killian, she sees a man of immense power and compassion. As Sasha struggles with her rare ability, Bran is there to support her, challenge her, and to believe in her. When a dark threat looms, the six must use their combined powers, including trust, unity, and love, to find the Fire Star and keep the world on course. That's called The Stars of Fortune by Nora Roberts. That was the first in the Guardians trilogy, as it's called. And the second book, also very popular during January, as I mentioned, is Bay of Sighs. And this is the follow-up to Stars of Fortune. And here's the plot for Bay of Sighs. Mermaid Annika is from the sea, and it is there that she must return after her quest to find the stars. Well, new to this world, her purity and beauty are nothing less than breathtaking, along with her graceful athleticism, as her five new friends discovered when they retrieved the Fire Star in that previous novel. Now, through space and time, traveler Sawyer King has brought the Guardians to the island of Capri, where the Water Star is hidden. And as he watches Annika in her element, he finds himself drawn to her joyful spirit. But Sawyer knows that if he allows her into his heart, no compass could ever guide him back to solid ground. And in the darkness, their enemy broods. She lost one star to the Guardians, but there is still time for blood to be spilled, the mermaids in the water and the travelers on the land, for she has forged a dangerous new weapon, something deadly and unpredictable, something human. So that's the first two books of the Guardian Trilogy, the Stars of Fortune, and this one I was just talking about, Bay of Sighs by Nora Roberts. They were among the most popular at the North Carolina Library for the Blind during the month of January. Now let's move on to another book that was very popular this month. It's called Family Jewels by Stuart Woods, whose books we've talked about many times on this program. And this is a Kirkus review that I'm reading from right now. Between rounds of international intrigue and blood feuds, even superheroes need a little downtime, and Woods provides some for New York cop turned attorney turned world's policeman Stone Barrington in his latest outing. Shoe heiress Carrie Jarman Fisk comes to Stone because she's convinced that her ex-husband, money manager Harvey Biggers, wants to kill her. And Harvey certainly acts the part to the hilt, turning up in public places to gawk at her, following her across the country to Santa Fe, trying to let himself into her Palm Beach home. But the corpse Stone discovers in a bedroom next door to Carrie's East Hampton place is that of a stranger, prostitute Darla Henry, who'd been Harvey's companion at a New Year's Eve shindig. What does her death mean? Nothing. Stone persuades Carrie to change the will that left her considerable estate to Harvey, but she gets strangled anyway deep in Georgia O'Keeffe country. Did Harvey, who'd been spotted nearby hours before, kill her? No. Even before the hostile ex, who'd claim that Carrie was trying to kill him, proves a disconcertingly ironclad alibi, Stone has moved on to yet another complication, Carrie's possession of a choker that looks just like the one Gustav Klimt's model wore in the painting the movies have forever dubbed The Lady in Gold. Is it the real thing or a clever copy? And either way, will some forgettable jewel thief make off with it before Jamie Niven, Stone's friend at Sotheby's, places it on the auction block? Well, if these questions make your heart beat faster, this is the tale for you. President Kate Lee also invites Stone to review the candidacies of three attorneys. One of them is his insatiable ex-fling, Tiffany Baldwin, for the Supreme Court. Well, maybe his recommendation will have consequences in some later installment of this best-selling series, a low-stakes, low-octane thriller that seems to have been cobbled together entirely from dead ends. And that is a review, a Kirkus review, for Family Jewels by Stuart Woods, one of the top 10 most popular books at the North Carolina Library for the Blind during the month of January. Now let's move on to the next book on this program. Heard any good books lately? This is a Kirkus review about Miss Julia Lays Down the Law, and that's written by the popular author Anne B. Ross. Now here's that review for Miss Julia Lays Down the Law. A southern gentlewoman's nerves are shredded after she finds a body. And not for the reason you'd expect. The emphatically married Miss Julia Murdoch is beside herself after attending a coffee meeting at the home of Connie Claiborne, a newcomer to Abbotsville. Nor is she the only one offended by the oblivious Connie's rant about what's wrong with their town and how she proposes to fix it. Julia contents herself with grumbling to her like-minded friends and avoiding Connie until her pastor, swearing her to secrecy, begs her to go see Connie and ask her to apologize to his wife, Emma Sue Ledbetter, who suffers from migraines and very low self-esteem. Emma Sue has been devastated ever since Connie criticized her pet project, the town park. Much against her will, Julia sallies forth, only to find Connie dead in her kitchen. While asking the guard at the gated community to call the police, she returns home and discovers that she's the leading suspect. The police have heard all about Julia's dislike of Connie's plans, but she won't break her promise to keep the reason for her visit confidential until she sees Pastor Ledbetter, who's evidently doing everything possible to avoid her. With her husband out of town, Julia does a little sleuthing of her own with help from a likable petty criminal. But her efforts to prove her innocence only get her in more trouble. Can Julia, now in her 16th installment, possibly be as naive as she continues to appear? Diehard fans will brush this question aside and relish this surprise ending. Very popular series about Miss Julia. This one's called Miss Julia Lays Down the Law by Anne B. Ross. And speaking of popular authors, here's one that shows up on our top 10 list just about every month on this program, James Patterson, and this is a book called 15th Affair. Here's the plot. As she settles into motherhood and a happy marriage, Lindsay Boxer thinks she has found domestic bliss. But when a beautiful, alluring blonde woman with links to the CIA disappears from the scene of a brutal murder at a downtown luxury hotel, Lindsay's life begins to unravel. Before she can track down the woman for questioning, a plane crash plunges San Francisco into chaos, and Lindsay's husband, Joe, vanishes. The deeper she digs, the more Lindsay suspects that Joe shares a secret past with the mystery blonde. Thrown into a tailspin and questioning everything she thought she knew, Lindsay turns to the Women's Murder Club for help as she tries to uncover the truth. Filled with pulse-pounding international intrigue, 15th Affair proves that all is fair in love, war, and espionage. Now we'll move on to the next book here. Again, this is one by Stuart Woods. One of the most popular books this month was called Dishonorable Intentions. Stone Barrington gains an adversary that he can't seem to shake in this electrifying new adventure from the number one New York Times bestselling author Stuart Woods. Stone Barrington's latest lady friend is full of surprises, both good and ill. A sensual woman with unexpected desires, Stone finds her revelations in the boudoir extremely agreeable. But on the other hand, she also has some unfinished business with a temperamental man who believes that Stone is an intolerable obstacle in the way of his goals. In a cat-and-mouse game that trails from sun-drenched Bel Air to a peaceful European estate and the wild New Mexican desert, Stone and his friend remain just one step ahead of their opponent. But their pursuer is not a man who can stand to be thwarted, and tensions are mounting and may soon reach the boiling point. This is a real thriller, I think. It's called Dishonorable Intentions by the popular author Stuart Woods. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately right here from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Thanks so much for joining me today. Now we'll move on with the most popular books that were sent out from the North Carolina Library for the Blind during the month of January 2017. This next one is entitled Last Mile by David Baldacci. In Memory Man, David Baldacci introduced his readers to one of the most unique protagonists seen in thriller fiction. Amos Decker had an extremely short-lived NFL career, just one play. During the opening kickoff, he received a traumatic blow to his head that caused a rare condition. Rather than suffering the debilitating effect of post-concussive syndrome, he had his brain rewired to give him impeccable memory while severely impacting his socialization skills. Well, it's no wonder that in The Last Mile, this book we're talking about right now, that Decker, now a special task force member for the FBI, jumps at the opportunity to help out a former collegiate football star who also saw his promising NFL career derailed. In the case of Melvin Mars, after being a finalist for the Heisman Trophy and sure first-round NFL pick, he was arrested for the murder of his parents. He has spent 20 years, half of his life, in prison and is now in his final hours on death row before execution. The efforts of Decker and the FBI task force allow for Mars to receive a last-moment reprieve mere hours before his execution. It seems that another imprisoned man has confessed to the murder of Mars' parents, and this is more than enough for the investigation to be reopened. Mars cannot believe that he has been saved a trip to the death chamber or the last mile, as it was so aptly referred to at his penitentiary. Meanwhile, Decker has been seeking another opportunity for redemption, a feeling he experienced after avenging the brutal murder of his wife and daughter. Having an indelible memory is a daily prison cell when you're unable to escape the vision of seeing your loved ones' slaughtered bodies every single waking moment. Perhaps in Mars he can ease his own pain a bit more by saving someone else's life. Now, the man who came forward with the confession that temporarily freed Mars, Charles Montgomery, is a brutal and remorseless killer who welcomes his own execution. He even selected the electric chair for the special brand of sadism that form of capital punishment presents. Montgomery is executed, and his wife Regina, through a carefully purchased life insurance policy, becomes a very wealthy woman. Unfortunately, she does not have much of an opportunity to enjoy it, as she herself is murdered shortly after the execution. Well, this leaves Decker, his task force, and Mars reeling. They're able to find evidence that points to the fact that Montgomery was paid off to make his confession, which is supported by the quick silencing of Regina. Now the goal is to find out who was behind this entire conspiracy and why. The truth will take everyone deep into Mars' past, and all of them will quickly learn that nothing is what it appears to be with his family history. Well, as the team continues to dig, they unearth a long-standing series of crimes attributed to a trio of powerful fat cats who refer to themselves as the Three Musketeers. They may be responsible for the bombing of a church and an NAACP office during the height of the civil rights era, and could very well be the cause of Mars' predicament. No one will be prepared for just how far the reach is for these three dangerous men, as Decker and company are all targeted for elimination. David Baldacci has always been a top-notch thriller writer, both in standalone novels and his many recurring series. For the past several years, he has also been one of the most prolific thriller authors, often penning upwards of four bestsellers a year. In the hands of a lesser writer, this much writing might become thin or diluted. However, Baldacci's fertile imagination and intricate plotting abilities make each of his books a treat for thriller readers. And The Last Mile is no exception. That's what it's called, The Last Mile, and that's by the popular author David Baldacci, and I've been reading from a review that was done by Ray Palin in April of 2016. That sounds like another great Baldacci novel, that's for sure. Now let's move on to the next book, The Love Letters by Beverly Lewis. Here's the plot for The Love Letters. When her sister falls gravely ill, 20-year-old Marlena Wenger takes on the responsibility of caring for her infant niece, Angel Rose. Well, worried that this turn of events portends a more complicated future than he is prepared for, her beau ends their relationship. Marlena is devastated, but is determined to give Angel Rose the best care possible. Though from the beachy Amish herself, Marlena meets Ellie Bittner, an old order Amish mother who offers quilting and needlepoint classes. They soon form a bond, and Marlena is drawn into the circle of Ellie's family. Ellie's handsome cousin seems rather taken with Marlena, but after her recent breakup, she is cautious where her feelings are concerned. But things begin to change when Ellie's younger son Jacob discovers an older homeless man camped out in the nearby abandoned mill. Suffering from some cognitive disorder, the man has few prospects and fewer possessions, among them a small clutch of letters, apparently from his own courting days. Could these letters be the key to the old man's identity? And can they bring healing and hope to Marlena and Ellie as well? Well, to get the answer, you'll just have to listen to The Love Letters by Beverly Lewis, one of the most popular books from the North Carolina Library for the Blind during the month of January. Now we're going to move on to a very interesting book, part of a series of books done by Bill O'Reilly, the guy who is on Fox News that is so famous and has written a number of historically based books, along with a fellow named Martin Dugard. This book that was very popular in January is called Killing Reagan by Bill O'Reilly. Now, this is from that best-selling team that I just mentioned, Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard. It's a page-turning epic account of the career of President Ronald Reagan that tells the vivid story of his rise to power and the forces of evil that conspired to bring him down. Here's the plot. Just 2 months into his presidency, Ronald Reagan lay near death after a gunman's bullet came within inches of his heart. His recovery was nothing short of remarkable, or so it seemed. But Reagan was grievously injured, forcing him to encounter a challenge that few men ever face. Could he silently overcome his traumatic experience while at the same time carrying out the duties of the most powerful man in the world? Told in the same riveting fashion as Killing Lincoln, Killing Kennedy, Killing Jesus, and Killing Patton, Killing Reagan reaches back to the golden days of Hollywood, where Reagan found both fame and heartbreak, up through the years in the California governor's mansion, and finally to the White House, where he presided over boom years and the fall of the Iron Curtain. But it was John Hinckley Jr.'s attack on him that precipitated President Reagan's most heroic actions. In Killing Reagan, O'Reilly and Dugard take readers behind the scenes, creating an unforgettable portrait of a great man operating in violent times. This is an unusual situation, as this book, which was published, as these other books have been, as nonfiction, has received enormous criticism for alleged inaccuracies. So I thought, in order to be fair, that you might be interested in a brief clip from an article in the Washington Post that was written by the following authors and experts on Ronald Reagan. Now, the authors that wrote this particular article were Craig Shirley, Kyron K. Skinner, Paul Kenger, and Stephen F. Hayward. And basically, here's what they said, and this does kind of summarize a lot of historical opinion about this particular book, which, again, is not a novel, but is written as nonfiction. Killing Reagan by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard is supposed to be a book of new scholarship on the Reagan presidency. Instead, it restates old claims and rumors, virtually all of which have been discredited by the historical record. In this best-selling book, there are no endnotes or no bibliography, no long list of interviewees, and only a smattering of footnotes. There's a section titled Sources, but it is only 2.5 pages long. It includes about 24 sources, but that is not adequate for a subject, Ronald Reagan, who has been the focus of thousands of books and articles and who was one of the most consequential political figures of the 20th century. The works of three of us, and three of us meaning these authors that I mentioned that wrote this article, are not noted at all. And between the four of us, we have written 19 books on Reagan, not to mention countless articles. The sources section does, however, reference long questionable works, including the sensational 1991 attack by Kitty Kelly, which is clearly incorporated throughout the book, and the 1999 biography by Edmund Morris, roundly criticized for its intermingling of fact and fiction. So I thought you should hear that as well. But nonetheless, Killing Reagan, whether it's you look at it as nonfiction or a little bit of a novel, was a very popular book during the month of January at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. And we're getting near the end of this program. We have time for one more book that was very popular this past month, and that is a book entitled The Games Once Again by James Patterson. Here is the plot for this pretty thrilling novel. Rio has spent years preparing to host the world during the Olympic Games, but they certainly did not prepare for this. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, home to beautiful white sand beaches, gorgeous women, stunning natural beauty, and the world's largest carnival celebration, knows how to throw a party. So it's a natural choice to host the biggest spectacle in sports, the World Cup and the Olympics. Now, to ensure that the games go off without a hitch, the organizers turned to Jack Morgan, the unflappable head of the renowned international security and consulting firm Private. But when events are this exclusive, someone's bound to get left off the guest list. Now, 2 years after the action nearly spilled from the field to the stands during soccer's championship match, Jack is back in Rio for the Olympics. But before the cauldron is even lit, the only thing more intense than the competition is the security risks. When prominent clients he's supposed to be protecting disappear, and bodies mysteriously start to litter the streets, Jack is drawn deep into the heart of a ruthless underworld populated by disaffected residents trying to crash the world's biggest party. Now, as the opening ceremonies near, with the world watching in horror, Jack must sprint to the finish line to defuse a threat that could decimate Rio and turn the games from a joyous celebration into a deadly spectacle. And that book is very simply called The Games. It sounds like a real thriller, and based on the actual, of course, the actual Olympics that were held in Rio. That was by the popular author James Patterson. And that's about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind or call toll-free 1-888-388-2460. That's 1-888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. That's a wonderful group that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for the blind and print-impaired audience. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long till next time.